Well, that's the Christmas story. Jesus, baby Jesus, grew up, died on a cross, and rose again. You said?
Amen.
You missed the yep. Come on. It is so good to have you here. Merry Christmas. I'm excited to spend a few minutes with you. I don't know about what happens at your house, but at my house, sometimes we have to do things that we don't want to do. And in my house, you can tell when we don't want to do, especially between me and my wife, when we don't want to do what we have to do. Now, here's what you know about me and my wife. We've been married for 17 years. 17 years, she's a godly, godly woman. We do everything we can and to make Christ a part of our lives. And listen, we've had a few hard seasons, all marriages do. But man, we really tried to put Christ first. But there's moments that we don't wanna help each other. We don't wanna put the idea of Christ in front of it. So here's how you'll know that that's true in my life. Is anytime you ask a question, ask a favor, and someone answers, it would be my honor. Let me explain how this works. So let's act like it's the morning and my wife is down and I'm sitting there and Carrie goes to get herself a cup of coffee. And she's sitting there, she's pouring her cup and I was like, hey babe, would you get me a cup of coffee? And it's really easy. She just has to pour another one. She goes, yeah, sure, that's no problem. And she'd pour my coffee and come back up and give me some coffee. But let's say the scenario changes a little bit. She's down there, she pours herself a glass of coffee, she comes back up the stairs and sits down and opens up her Bible and is like, hey, would you get me a cup of coffee? It's in that moment she's gonna say, it would be my honor. The tone really matters in this, if you know. So another way to think of it is, for me, let's just imagine that Carrie's coming in from groceries and I'm walking through the kitchen and I'm like, she's like, hey, would you help me unload the groceries? Like, absolutely, let's do this. But another example is, if she comes and brings the groceries, it's the fourth quarter of a football game, and she's like, hey, Brent, would you help me unload the car with groceries? She's gonna hear from me, it would be my honor. And I'm gonna grudgingly get up and go. Now, here's the reason that this happens. Number one is, I think we learned this early in our marriage, and it honestly reminds us we should probably help even when we don't want to. But also, I think it holds a very valuable place. Because when we say, it would be my honor, what we're basically saying is, you're gonna get this one, but you're really pushing it, and if you ask again, I'm not gonna help at all, right? Because sometimes we have to do things that we don't wanna do it, and you've experienced that. Dishes, diapers, cleaning of all sorts. There's things that we have to do that we don't want to do. And as we think about the Christmas story, whether consciously or subconsciously, I bet you've asked this question. Why would God want to send his son to a sin-filled earth? Or another way to say this, why would Christ want to come? He had a palace, he had eternal worship, and he came to a very broken world. Let's just pause for a second and say, why would he want to do that? It's a great question, and it's a question that Paul answers when he talks about Jesus in Colossians. And so let's read this together. This is Colossians 1, verse 19. If you've been around for a few weeks or you've been watching online even, you know that we've been going through Colossians, the first chapter, and we're gonna close it up tonight. And it says this, for God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile everything to himself, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Man, these kids just told us the story of Christmas. It's Mary and Joseph and a donkey and Bethlehem and a manger. But if you pull back on the meaning of Christmas, you'll see more of this. It's the fullness of God coming to dwell in Christ. So let's talk about his fullness. The bigness of God. Like the way I think about it is the first way I think of how big God is the omnis. He's omnipotent, which means he's all powerful. With one voice, with one word, he can stop nature. He can start nature. There's nothing that could happen on earth or in the universe that he does not have the power over. And not only is he omnipotent, he's also omniscient, which means he knows everything. I don't know how old you are, but here's what I know. God is so powerful, the fullness of God knows every day of your life, every single one of them. And he's also omnipresent. Isn't it crazy that he's here in us, with us in Ankeny? It's Christmas and Christmas Eve in the next 24 to 48 hours around the world. He's in the cathedrals in Europe. And he's even with brothers and sisters in house churches in the persecuted parts of the world. He's everywhere. That is the fullness of God. Many of you may have saw his fullness on Monday night with the Christmas star. Did you go outside and see this? Here's what we know is that God is the creator. He created Jupiter and Saturn. And he actually designed the way that they would orbit in the universe. And he sustained them for millennia. This exact thing that we see, the two stars that came together, is, last time it happened was 800 years. God has sustained all of his creation. And he continues to do it. What I love about this picture is here's this man-made city. And above it is a God-made galaxy. The fullness of God. He's almighty. But that fullness of God at the Christmas story came to dwell in Christ. I want to read the story. Maybe you even read it before you open presents. This is Luke chapter 2, verse 4 through 7. Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and family line of David, to be registered along with Mary, who was engaged to him and was pregnant. And while they were there, the time came for him to give birth. And then she gave birth to her firstborn son, and she wrapped him tightly in cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. So God Almighty, fully powerful, all-knowing, all-present, dwelt in Christ, away from their family, wrapped in some cloth, and put in a feeding trough. The fullness of God dwelt in Christ. You've heard this story. And honestly, we tell it over and over, and we should, but sometimes it's hard to wrap our minds around it. So I was thinking, what would this be like? In my mind, I don't know if this is, I'm not trying to make a theological statement with this, but it would be in my mind like a billionaire becoming homeless. A billionaire has incredible influence, incredible power. By and large, they can do whatever they want. I did some quick math, and this is very rough, but basically what $10 would be to many of us in this room is what $100,000 is worth to a billionaire. So when we're like, should we go to Chick-fil-A for a family meal tonight? That's the same amount of money as it would take for a billionaire to go, let's just go out and buy a new house tonight. Like, they don't care. It's okay. It's no big deal. So a billionaire has all this power. And I think of God. This is the fullness of God. The scripture says in Psalms 24, the earth and everything in it, the world and its inhabitants belong to the Lord. The Lord is full of glory. He's full of power. But it's like he stepped down and became homeless, living under a bridge, disregarded, dirty, hungry, poked at, made fun of, alone and cold. No money, completely reliant on others. And it reminds me of Jesus. This is Luke chapter 9, verse 58. And it says, Jesus told him, foxes have dens and birds of the sky have nests, but the Son of Man, which is Jesus, has no place to lay his head. The fullness of God dwelt in Christ, this baby. And the crazy part of all of this is back in verse 19. It says that for God was pleased. This transaction of leaving heaven and coming to nothing pleased God that it would happen. He wanted to do it. Not, it would be my honor. He wanted to do it. So why would he want to step out of heaven and into this world? Let's read it again, Colossians 19. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him and through him to reconcile everything to himself, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. He wanted to reconcile humanity with God. Why did he want this? Why did he want to step from heaven onto earth? It's because he wanted to reconcile us. He wanted us to have peace, making peace with us. So let's explain this in a little bit. God created all things, and the scripture says that it was very good. It was a good world. But then sin entered into the creation. Adam and Eve sinned, and by their nature was passed on to us. In us, we all have a sinful nature. And even if that's hard for you to understand, all of us in this room, we can go, you know what? I've totally chosen sin at some point in my life, at least once, most of us, a lot. We've chosen sin. And God sent Christ. He wanted, it pleased him to send Christ to reconcile everything and everyone to himself. And this is the reason God desires to be reconciled with his children. And so he came as a child so that it could happen. Like, okay, that's why he would want to. How did this happen? Again, look at verse 20. And through him, to reconcile everything to himself, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. He came to make peace through his blood on the cross. Think about through his blood. What's going on there? It means that he had ultimately became a sacrifice for us because we had sin, and the only way to pay for that sin was for him to become a sacrifice for it. He was nailed violently and bled on a tree. He became a sacrifice. He received violence so that he could give us peace. And then it was on a cross. On the cross, for us, that doesn't make a lot of sense. But for the day and age in which Christ walked around, that cross would have been a symbol of shame. It would have been a symbol of intense humility. Because when they put you on a cross, they stripped you from all your clothes and they hung you up in front of all of your friends and family in the town to make an example of you. You had no power until you died. It was his shame. He took on our shame on the cross. And so to make peace for us, Christ took on the violence, the shame. And here's what's crazy, and I'm going to say it again. Listen, it pleased God to do this. It would be my honor. Are you kidding me? Would you please get it together? God was not rolling his eyes and going, again? He's coming down the fullness of God because it pleased him to be reconciled with his children. He spared no pain or shame or humility to make reconciliation for you. Hear this, because he delights in you. But here's the interesting part about all this. As we read this, we're like, oh man, Christ came and he was born on earth and he went to the cross and the resurrection to reconcile everything and everyone. This is great news. And it is great news, but you need to know this tonight. That reconciliation isn't automatic just because God did that. Just because Jesus walked the world. Reconciliation is not automatic. You're not automatically reconciled to Christ, but you can be. That is the message of Christmas. I want to illustrate this week. It's Christmas. How many boys and girls are excited to open presents? Scream really loud if that's you. You're not a kid, whoever that was, right? It's Christmas time, man, and I am so excited. My hope is that over the next couple of days, you get whatever you wanted, that you get a Christmas present. But hopefully, in the next few days, a gift will be set right in front of you. It's wrapped in a sack or well done. I mean, I don't want to brag, but I wrap this. Are you impressed? That you should be. If you knew my skill set, you should be very impressed right now. It's wrapped, but here's what you need to know about this gift. Inside this gift is the fullness of whatever the item is. I have no clue what it is. It's actually a pretty small box, but whatever's in there is in there. The fullness of whatever it is sitting wrapped in this moment. And when you get it, you will begin to unwrap it. Now, please, tomorrow morning, or don't be the person who wraps on slowly. Aren't they so annoying? But I'm going to do it because it's much more of a dramatic thing, and you're really wanting to know what it is, right? An iPhone, right? You'll unwrapize it, and immediately you're going to recognize it. And for some of you, you would, my kids, if I gave them a new iPhone, they would love their life. They would be squealing with delight. But all of a sudden, the fullness of whatever this was there, I have to unwrap it, and then I recognize what it is. And in that moment that I recognize it's an iPhone, immediately my brain can go to do the work, because I'm now going to recognize the fullness of what's available in this. Because with an iPhone, you can do almost anything. You can make a movie. You can record a song. You can FaceTime with people around the world. You can call, you can chat, you can send emails. You can waste a lot of time on games. Somebody say amen. You can scroll social media. You can learn. You could read every book that you would ever need through an undergraduate and graduate degree. You could do all of that. The fullness of that is available to you once you've seen that. It was in the package. You recognized it once you unwrapped it. But don't miss this. If you're going to experience the fullness of what's in this box, you have to open it. You have to take it out. And you have to start using it. And this is the story of Christ. The fullness of God came to earth. And for us in this room, we may have even recognized that, oh my goodness, we've unwrapped it. And even today in the thing, Mitch did an incredible job explaining. The text says, hey, the fullness of God is in Christ. He wants to make peace with you. He wants to reconcile you. And you go, that's the fullness once you recognize it. But the question today is, are you going to open it and use it? Because if you don't open it and put the phone in your hand, it's worthless to you. And if you do not open up your faith to Christ Jesus, you are not reconciled to him. And it's an invitation. He came. It pleased him to come, to die on a cross, so that he could give you the fullness of him in Christ Jesus. The fullness of God is delivered in the gift of Christ. You have to open it and use it. You have to open it. You have to use it. So there's a couple of opportunities for us today. There may be some in you in this room, and church is a pretty new thing. And maybe you knew Mary, Joseph, you thought camel, but you thought the wolf thing was a little weird. But you've known the story. You've known the story, but you've never known Christ. And today, the invitation is for you to recognize in Christ Jesus is the fullness of God, that by putting your faith and trust of him, you can be reconciled to God, and that today you would open the box for the very first time. And then there's some in this room that you could tell the story. You know the story. And in fact, you at some point, you're a Christian and you've opened the box. But if you're honest, this year has been really hard. Is there ever been a year we've needed the fullness of God more in our lives? And you're recognizing, even in this season, that once you open the box, you put it on a shelf in some room, and it's got a lot of dust on it, and you forgot that God came to reconcile, and that you can have a deep relationship with this fullness of God, and you're reconciled to him. And for you tonight, you need to realize, man, I've opened the box. I've held it before, but I put it on the shelf. And this Christmas season, I need to pull it out and use it, because I have been reconciled to God. Brothers and sisters, the fullness of God is delivered in the gift of Christ. Open it and use it. He is pleased to be reconciled with you. Would you bow your head? Lord, as I look out on this room, and there's so many ways and so many stories that we need your fullness. That this evening, we do not come as a perfect people. We come a battered people. Some of us are battered by sin. Some of us battered by circumstances. And we need, maybe for the first time tonight, or maybe you remember the goodness of God for the 10,000th time in your life, and we need to remember that you came so we can be reconciled. And so tonight, God, Would you give us grace? Would you give us grace to recognize the fullness of God has been given to us? And you were pleased. You delighted in solving our sin problem. God, give us grace tonight to come to you, to come to Christ Jesus, the only name by which one can be saved. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.